Hello, Internet friend. Today, my number one strategy for surviving the high cost of living. I'm David Revell, and this is ValueSide. Well, I don't have to tell you that the cost of living is skyrocketing. The Consumer Price Index shows that the cost of most items that we purchase on a regular basis has increased by over 10% in just 2 years. But as you know, that's only part of it. Some food items are up over 30%, while the price of gasoline looks set to rise soon due to the conflict in the Middle East. Now, I was recently asked what my number one recommendation for surviving this economic storm would be. Here's the strategy that I've adopted for the Revell household and one I suggest for you. Now, my first recommendation is that we all approach our finances in a professional, dispassionate manner. In times like this, it's easy to get emotional when we look at the monthly bills. Lately, our expenses may be greater than our income, and that's likely to cause panic. But don't. I've been the financial officer or treasurer of three firms and one not-for-profit. More than once, I've seen these organizations nearly bankrupt, and that can cause more than one sleepless night. But you should know this. Absolutely no one, including your banker, wants to see you bankrupt. It might seem like everyone is against you, but the reality is that if you fail, so do they. Your lenders do not want to see you fail. So here is today's reality. Interest rates have risen dramatically over the past couple of years. The nation's central bank, the Federal Reserve, has raised interest rates by about 5.5%. Unfortunately, you and I can't borrow at those rates. That's reserved for Fed member banks. As consumers, we're going to borrow at a much greater rate, and choosing just which rate is our task. Of course, as interest rates have risen, the very best option is to have no debt at all. Pay off all your credit, and it really doesn't matter where interest rates go. But unfortunately for most of us, zero debt is not an option. So our number one priority is finding the cheapest form of debt. Generally, the cheapest debt is secured by collateral because those loans have the least amount of risk for the lender. A first mortgage on your home, for instance, generally has a lower interest rate because the lender can always foreclose on your property if you fail. So the first place that we'll look for a loan is asset-based loans, like a mortgage, a home equity line of credit, or another secured loan. The caveat is that we need to be doubly sure that we can meet those future loan payments. Otherwise, we might lose our house. However, many of us don't have access to a loan on our property, so we need to look at a personal loan, a loan that is not secured by assets. From the banker's point of view, these loans are more risky and so come with a higher interest rate. The most common type of this loan are the credit cards. Now, credit cards are not secured by collateral. Instead, the lender relies on your ability to earn income to pay off the credit card loan. And here's where we can come to some real anomalies in the credit card market that you can take advantage of. Now, a couple of years ago, finding a credit card that charged only 13 to 18% was typical. Back then, interest rates were low and U.S. consumers were meeting all their debt payments. This was due to good jobs, but also that government stimulus program. So credit card interest rates were some of the lowest ever. In the past 2 years, most credit cards have raised their interest rates by an average of 5%. But here's the catch. There is a vast difference in the kind of credit card you get. A person with very good credit and a standard no-frills card was charged 13% in the first quarter of 2022. Today, they're charged about 15 to 18% on that same card. It's not great, but as we'll see, it's so much better than all the other cards. Now, the worst kind of card you can get as a category are store cards. They've gone from 25% interest on average to now 30%. No one can afford to pay 30% in interest. And I know it may be painful, but pay down or get rid of those store cards. The same is also true for those bonus cards, the cards that give you a reward for your purchases. They're charging nearly the same as store cards. Recently, I got rid of my Amazon card. Although it did give me a 5% credit on other purchases, it still charged me 28%. I can't afford that either. The 5% credit is a one-time bonus, while that 28% interest compounds each and every month. And compound interest is the natural killer here, and you need to avoid high-rate cards like the plague. Currently, the greatest interest rate charge is the MasterCard by First Premier Bank. They charge 35.99%, a rate that is no doubt matched by some of those store cards we just talked about. Now, credit cards charge compound interest, which is interest on your interest. If you don't pay off your card this month, you get charged interest. And next month, assuming you didn't pay off the card again, you are charged interest on the card's new balance, which includes last month's interest. So you're paying interest on last month's interest charge. And that might not seem like a big deal, but let's see how it works. Assume that you borrow $1,000, make no further purchases, and make no payments. In 5 years, you will owe $5,891 on that $1,000 you borrowed at 36% interest, nearly six times what you borrowed through the magic of compounding interest. It's the fast lane to the poorhouse. But let's look at an alternative. It will be a low-cost, no-frills credit card. Now, there are still cards out there that charge as little as 15%. Making the same assumptions with this low interest rate card, again, borrow that $1,000, make no purchases, make no payments, and in 5 years, you'll owe $2,107. That's a savings of $3,784, $3,700, or 72% savings, a savings that could make all the difference in your lifestyle. Now, these low interest rate cards are not hard to find. Here's a couple of places to begin your search. Credit unions are my number one candidate. If they offer credit cards, they're often at very, very low rates. As I mentioned, I just closed out my Amazon card and moved over to a low interest credit card from a credit union, and it has less than 15% interest. Now, corporate cards and affinity cards are other good candidates you might look at. You may work for a company that offers credit cards for its employees, often at excellent interest rates. Or you may be a member of a club or organization such as the Automobile Club, the AARP, or other retirement group, or a service organization like the Kiwanis or Elks. Check to see if any of these offer low interest rate credit cards. Finally, a strategy that many banks are utilizing now is to offer low rates on balance transfers. These usually include an upfront fee, but that's often well below any interest rate charge. Citibank offered an interest-free balance transfer good for 2 years with an upfront fee. Doing a little math showed that it was a very desirable loan. So here's my number one strategy for making it through today's high interest rate environment. Avoid store cards, avoid bonus cards, or any special gimmick card. Look instead for the lowest, pure interest rate loan or card. It's no time to get fancy. And that's today's Value Side. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit valueside.com. I'm David Revelle. Value Side is independently written and researched. The views expressed are strictly my own.